Welcome to Level With Us, the bonusode. We're releasing some unheard content from previous interviews to explore a topic more in depth, look at it through a new lens, or different perspective. These shorter sodes will also give us the opportunity to answer any questions from listeners. So if you want to know more about a topic, or you just want us to look at a housing-related issue that we haven't yet covered, go to the Level With Us page on our website, homeportohio.org, and fill out the form. All right, let's get into it. If only a new zoning code could change our housing landscape. While it's a great start, Zone In, the city's effort to bring our 70-year-old code up to date, is just one square in a quilt of solutions needed to address the current market. For this episode, we're back with Roy Lowenstein, career affordable housing consultant, to go beyond zoning to see the other challenges builders, developers, officials, buyers, renters, everyone is facing.
There's a lot more than zoning that's limits the amount of housing that's being built. With interest rates being high and construction prices staying up, you simply can't finance all that much.
This year, the Ohio Housing Finance Agency, or OFA, has issued funding for about 50 affordable housing developments across the state, 9 of which are in Franklin County. Homeport received funding for 3 of our developments, including Hamilton Place in Northeast Columbus, Emerald Glen on the far west side, and American Addition in North Central Columbus. While impactful, the amount of funding for affordable housing development in Central Ohio doesn't come close to what is needed. The city is stepping up to provide gap funding, and voters approved a $150 million bond initiative to be issued out in $15 million increments each year. In his 2024 capital budget, Mayor Andrew Ginther also allotted $104 million to build and preserve affordable housing and invest in permanent supportive housing for unhoused people.
That's going to help fill a gap on, a small number of projects. It's good stuff. It's just what we really need if we really wanted to catch up. We would need to do that, 10 times as fast,
yeah,
or something like that. It's not a scientific number, but the market is so much bigger than anything really that the public sector is going to do. In a capitalist country, it's like the market is really what rules.
Yeah.
And, the government can make things easier or worse, but it's not going to change the underlying dynamics so easily. I mean, they're trying. They're working at the levers, to try to make it better, but there isn't enough money to go around.
With building costs on the rise, builders are locked into building designs that are replicable and economically feasible. You may have noticed, a lot of new builds look similar, with little variation. It might not be interesting to look at, but it gets the units built.
Builders, architects and builders build things that work functionally and economically. So this is why we see endless numbers of these, apartment complexes. Like, if you take what Metro Development is building, and there's a couple of complexes not too far from the Homeport office, like the one on Cassidy, two of them on Cassidy that they have built recently, and the one on Stelzer over by Codette. These are typically 240 units. They're, 24 unit buildings, 3-story walk-ups, the same design, the same, why do they keep building that? Because it works. Because subcontractors know exactly how much it costs to do the wiring and the plumbing and the heating and all for those buildings. They have it down to a T, and they're able to use that efficiency to deliver that product at this price and rent it at a price below what almost anyone else can deliver it for.
It's replicable.
Right, it works. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you could say, I wish it was nicer looking, or I wish they had more variations on it and all that, right? That's subjective. I mean, some people might say it's perfectly fine,
Right.
Other people would look at it and go, God, that's boring. Well, yes, but it works financially and they're building it.
Mm-hmm.
Even they're really squeezed now, you know, because of interest rates. And as real estate goes up in price,
you just don't have that.
It's going to squeeze it more and more, right? Yeah. I mean, there's a reason why some of these cities get to where they've gotten, like Portland, Oregon, for example, or, you know, with it being a almost a catastrophe, with there being such a shortage. I'm not picking on them, but I mean, it's...
They're one of many.
Yeah, yeah. It's just it gets that way because of all of these factors. Land goes up in price. Everything now costs more.
Supply chain, always hearing supply about the supply chain issues.
The other issue, though, that I think people have talked about but don't focus on so much is labor shortages.
It's true. According to Business Insider, we're about 500,000 construction workers short, leading to less and slower residential construction.
We don't have anywhere near enough construction workers to you know, the city's talking about how this zoning change, you know, they believe that it could allow for 88,000 more housing units to be built, theoretically, but who's going to build them? Particularly if we're having, you know, like Intel and that kind of thing. Those are enormous projects involving thousands of people contributing toward getting those you know, built at the same time that we're continuing to see new Amazon warehouses and other companies continuing to build warehouses and industrial related projects. And it's like there's only so many people to go around who know how to do this stuff.
Right. Is it demand that's outpacing the supply of workers, or are people leaving the profession?
I don't think there were enough people working in that business even before the pandemic. I think there was a shortage then, and it seems worse now. It seemed to me what the pandemic seemed to do to the American workforce was people got a breather from what they were doing. And not everyone, of course, but enough people went, heck, you know, I don't want to go back to that. I hated that job, you know, and then they went out on their own to do something else. Just a big shifting of what people were doing, and it hasn't settled down even yet. We can only grow so fast related to the building of the physical infrastructure.
Right.
So there's a lot of restraints, a lot of constraints on this. I think the zoning code in general is headed in the right direction. I just think people shouldn't... We should be careful not to oversell the benefits of that, because there's all of these other fronts that we need to make progress in terms of the financing side, in terms of getting a bigger slice of it to be affordable, in terms of workforce issues we were just talking about. And there's other things, too. You know, it's not that easy to get building permits and get inspections and get your project through. Even if you had zoning, there's a lot to it that has a tendency to slow things down. You
this
know,
is just one piece.
Yeah, and like I say, people have to have the money to buy the product that's being built or rent it. I'm not the voice of doom and gloom. If you look at what happened in Minneapolis, and a lot of times Columbus gets compared to Minneapolis, city is a little bigger. But it's not that different than Columbus. And they changed their codes, and they really did get an increase in construction. Significant.
Yeah?
Yeah. So it is possible to succeed. It's just I'm always cautious about,
Wait and see.
Yeah.
Level With Us is brought to you by Homeport and is recorded, mixed, and edited by Lauren Sega. All sources are in the show notes. Homeport creates strong communities by developing quality, affordable homes on a cornerstone of dignity, security, and opportunity. To learn more, or if you'd like to support our mission, visit us at homeportohio.org.